Like we need to close in prayer. We've heard so much, and praise God for what he's doing through our brother. And you know, it's amazing how we can sit here and we're relatively safe and relatively comfortable, and we can go about our business. We get a little ticked off if somebody, you know, writes a bad article about us, or sends out a bad tweet or a Facebook post about us, and we feel as if we're being persecuted. But this puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? Yeah, thank God for brothers like Brother Benny and others who are laboring and advancing the gospel in very hard and difficult places. And we certainly need to come alongside and help translate that vision to reality. Getting the gospel to every creature is the most important thing in the world. That's why we're here. Amen? That's why we're here. Well, if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I told you we're doing this series of messages this week on encouragement, and this is sort of the preface to the messages. If we're going to talk about encouragement, I thought that maybe we ought to talk about, well, what is courage? Because encouragement means to breathe courage into someone, to give them courage. So what in the world is courage? Joshua chapter 1. Admittedly, this is a text that I've preached on many times. In fact, I go back to this text whenever I am shaken and frightened or overwhelmed, and sense that God is telling me to do something, that means that I'm going to have to stick my neck out here. Not everybody's going to be with me. Not everybody's going to give you a standing ovation or applaud you or pat you on the back, but it's something that's necessary and it has to be done. And so I come back to this text often. But before we get into it, let's just have a word of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and thank you for what we've heard and seen already. And we do pray right now for our brother Benny, and we pray for the work there in northern India. And we pray, oh God, that you will continue to move and bless. And just seeing those graduates there, I pray for your anointing and favor to be upon them. Fill their hearts with courage, Father. Give them what they need to do what you've called them to be about, and help us to know what part you'd have us to play in investing and praying for that ministry. Now, Father, speak to our hearts, we pray. I pray, God, that you'll lift our spirits. I pray for those of us here this evening who know that God is leading them to do something, and but they're fearful, scared, overwhelmed, don't know where the courage is going to come from. I pray, Lord, that your word will strengthen and bless, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing in life ever takes place apart from courage. Nothing. Nothing happens apart from courage. You can have the best ideas in the world, the greatest intentions in the world, the best plans in the world. You can parade in consultants to give you ideas. You can study things. You can have best case scenarios. You can talk to your friends about stuff. You can line up the counselors and have them give you the right frame of mind. You can go to motivational sessions and all that kind of stuff. But nothing ever happens until somebody pulls the trigger. Somebody's got to be responsible for something. Nothing advances in life apart from courage. Everything in life, if there's any movement, any problems that have been solved, any development, any ideas that's translated to reality, somebody's got to stick their necks out and do something. Courage. Courage. And it takes courage to live life. If not, then we will never accomplish anything. So the question is, what is courage? What does it rest upon? What is it built on? You know, how do you sustain this courage? In Joshua chapter 1, this is one of my favorite texts of Scripture, because you consider the context in which it's found. Moses had led approximately 2.5 million Israelites out of Egypt, and for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. The great lawgiver Joshua had been up close and personal with this man, and Moses dies. But before he dies, he calls Joshua in, and he says that now you're the man. So here you have these, I don't know how many million are left there, but you have these Israelites on this side of the Jordan River, and this is the end of the journey. They just got to go through the toll booth. Right on the other side is the promised land. This is what they live for. This is what this journey was all about. This is the land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, man, we're right here.
But Moses is dead. God comes to Joshua in a very moving scene and speaks to him and tells him what is necessary in order to finish the last leg of the journey. Now you can imagine the shadow of Moses is hanging over him. Moses, according to God, was the greatest man that ever lived. Joshua had been there outside the tent of meeting when Moses would go in there every day and pray. I don't know what he said, but I guarantee you I do know what he said. As he would go in his tent of meeting, I think he said to God, God, help me, show me what to do next. Now, Moses is dead. And Joshua's the man. Now, consider, he's got to lead these couple million people into the promised land. And oh, by the way, make sure that they're keeping the law, responsible for them. What does God tell them? Well, in these 9 verses, God gives Joshua an exposition on courage. And for the sake of time, I'll just land the plane here. He says that courage rests upon 4 pillars. This is one of the greatest descriptive definitions of courage you'll ever find anywhere in the Bible. It is absolutely amazing. The very first pillar of courage is that, number one, he says that Joshua, courage rests upon a clear assignment from God. Let me say this up front here. courage is always preceded by clarity. You're courageous for something. Just because you have a bombastic personality and you suck all the air out of the room when you show up and you're the center of attention and all this other kind of thing, and you're extroverted, squared, and everything, that does not, we call people like that, that's not courageous. That's sometimes it's just being obnoxious. But that's not being courageous. You're courageous for something. It's like faith. Faith has no meaning apart from opposition. Faith has no meaning apart from opposition. You have faith to push through something. Courage has no meaning apart from an assignment, apart from something that needs to be done. That's the only reason why you have courage. So courage, number one, rests upon clarity. Clarity. Now listen to what he says here. In verse 1, he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over. Now I get you the juxtaposition of those expressions. Don't miss that. As great as Moses was, I mean, a great man. God spoke to him face to face. Amazing. Incredible miracles. God used him in extraordinary ways. God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Moses is dead, now therefore arise. Moses is dead, now therefore arise. Listen. When a man or woman of God dies, nothing of God dies. And this is another reason why arrogance is so obnoxiously ludicrous. Ludicrous. When you die, and when I die, somebody might kick some dirt over your casket or whatever, or cry at your urn or whatever you decide to do. They might do that. But I guarantee you, before the dirt is settled, they'll send out a position focus sheet to recruit somebody for your place. When a man of God dies, and a person of God dies, nothing of God dies. And so God said to Joshua, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them. And he goes on to describe what the assignment is. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Basically, what he did was just reiterate the assignment. This is nothing new, Joshua. New player, same assignment. New player, same assignment. The assignment is not complete. He said, now get up, go over, and get it. And by the way, he could have said, and line up all the people on this side of Jordan and pass out binoculars and say, look, right over there, it's just not far away from there. There's your land, Simeon, that's your land. Sarah, that's a nice little plot over there. No, it ain't yours until you get up, go over, and get it. It's not yours until you get up, go over, and get it. See, courage is always in the verb position. It's always in the verb position. What has God laid on his heart that he wants you to do? What dreams has he given to you? How has he spoken to you about dealing with something that you don't want to deal with? And you know what you have to do. I don't think my youngest son would mind me sharing this. My youngest son is a pastor, and as pastors, we go through some very difficult times, challenging times sometimes with people. And there were people-related issues, and he was sharing with me about a challenging thing and had been going on and on and on. And he said, "Dad, what should I do?" Whatever. And I said, "Brendan, you and I both know that you probably know what you need to do." He said, "Yeah, Dad, you're right. You got to pull the trigger. What is it that you are pushing back from that God says, no, 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 I'm not going to answer that until you take some steps. I'm not going to remove that until you act. No, it's not going to go away until you confront it. No, I'm not going to let you ignore this one. You're going to deal with this." Courage. Clarity precedes courage. So God said to Joshua, look, courage rests upon a clear assignment from God. Get clear, get alone with me, get alone with the Lord, whatever it is. Make sure you know in your heart and mind what this thing is all about. And then courage rises up because it is clear. There's clarity. So the very first pillar of courage is that courage rests upon a clear assignment from God. Number two, courage also rests upon the assurance of God's presence. This is precious stuff here. So after he reiterates the assignment, he says to Joshua, verse 5 says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." And notice the prepositional phrase, "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you." The last line of verse 9, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is extraordinary. By the way, many, many years ago, I did a study of all the callings of God in the Bible. It was one of the most fascinating studies I've ever done in my life. You know what I discovered? That in every calling of God, in every context, in the immediate context, when God gives an assignment, in the immediate context is also the assurance of his presence. Now, wake up if you're sleeping here. You need you to hear this and you go back to sleep. Listen to me. When God gives you an assignment, it is not to prove your value or your worth. It is a statement about who he is. So what he was saying to him, to Joshua, this is my doing here. I'm leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Any old person could have done. I just chose Moses. I just chose him. It's not about the person. It's about my glory. So do you honestly think that I would tell you to do something and not be with you? Do you honestly think that I would tell you to do something and take a stage on you and say, "Okay, good luck, hope you do it, hope it's all right. I don't know if it's going to work, but it's on you." Seriously? "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you." And I can imagine rushing across Joshua's mind with all these scenes of God's supernatural intervention on behalf of Moses. God proving himself. Listen, some of us, we'll never know what it means to experience a supernatural intervention of God because fear has been institutionalized. And the very presence of God wants to be manifested, but it's not going to be manifested until we take that step of courageous faith. So Joshua, don't park it, man. Remember, it's not about you. It's not about you. I'm using you, but it's about me. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Courage rests upon a clear assignment from God. Courage rests upon the assurance of God's presence. Because if you're clear about what he wants done, then you understand that it's not about you anyway. Let me just say this to you. One of the lessons I've learned in over 47 years of ministry, one of the lessons that I've learned is that in order for me to be effective, I have to be detached from what God called me to do. Meaning that if my sense of self-worth is always tied up in my calling, I'm in trouble. But it also holds me accountable because the calling belongs to God. And the only thing I own, I don't own visibility, I don't own any of that stuff. The only thing I own is faithfulness. That's the only thing I own. I just got to be sure that I'm being faithful at what God called me to do. And at that point, the pressure is off. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to compete with anybody. I don't have to compare myself with anybody else. I don't have to be better than anybody else. I don't have to fight for a share of the market, whatever that might be. Why? Because it belongs to God. And if I humble myself and depend upon Him and I'm faithful to do what He says, where He wants to take it, that is His business. And this is what He was saying to Joshua. Look, man, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Although the implication is now, don't get cute with me, buddy. I was with Moses because he depended on me. And if you stay in that dependent posture, there's no telling what will happen. So courage rests upon a clear assignment of God. Courage also rests upon the assurance of God's presence. But number three, courage rests upon focus, determination. Now, I want you to notice what he says, the nature of these commands. He says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And the opening line of verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Now, God doesn't have a speech impediment. So when he repeats himself and says the same thing three times in this short amount of time, I think he wants you to get this. Now notice he says, he didn't say to him, Joshua, you know, I read your Myers-Briggs and, you know, your personality profile, and I've read your DISC test. You really don't have the high performance and leadership profile, which high D, high I. You're more an S than a C, and I don't know. Let's negotiate about. Now, he didn't say any of that to him. I want you to notice that he commands him. This is interesting. He commands him to be strong and courageous. He didn't tell him to find strength. He didn't tell him to find courage. Now, I'm not playing with words here. I just think it's interesting that he commands strength and courage. He commands him to act like what he needs to become. By the way, this is not hypocrisy. This is not disingenuous behavior. This is a biblical principle. If you want to be strong, you got to pick up something heavy. You got to start somewhere. And he says, look, okay, I'm with you, Joshua. I'm with you. But you're going to have to act with strength. And if you act with strength, I'll give you more strength. If you act with courage, I'll give you more courage. But you're going to have to take the first step. You don't sit here praying, you know, slumping down. God, give me strength. God, give me courage. God, give me strength. God, give me courage. He says, will you get up? And that sounds cold-blooded. But sometimes God just says, hey, Crawford, stop, quit, stop. Will you get up? Will you stop rehearsing what you can't do? Would you stop rehearsing worst-case scenarios? Will you stop complaining to people about how bad the situation is? Will you cut it out? Will you stop it? The issue is, what can you do? What can you do? Let's start there. Joshua, you got the job. You can't be in your tent weeping and crying and sipping Maalox. You got the job, man. And so he says, you need to act with strength and courage, and you're going to get more. I'll give it to you. But you need to act that way. And I think the other implication was this. Hey, look. I need you to understand something, my man, that these people over here in Canaan, they're not going to have a welcome wagon out for you. They're not going to be selling lemonade and cookies and say, oh, here come the Jews. They're going to take our land. Isn't that wonderful? No, they're going to want you very dead. They're going to hurt you. They're going to try to hurt you. They're going to try to kill you. Now, this is astonishing to me because God could have, he could have just said, just kill them all and just walk in and take the land, everything. Why would the struggle? I think he wanted them to go through the struggle because they needed to experience what God can do in real time. But I also think there's an implication for us. The devil's not sitting back in his lazy boy lounger while we do the will of God. Are you kidding me? We have a real enemy. We're going to get real pushback. People are not going to like you. Not everybody's going to hug you. Not everybody's going to kiss you. Not everybody's going to hit like on your post. They're not going to do that. When you start doing what God tells you to do, you upset the enemy. So what do? Are you going to run? No. You put your armor on. By the way, there's no armor for your backside. You put your armor on. You believe the promises of God. You go back to what he's called you to do. And you put your nose to the grind. And you push forward, trusting in the process that he's going to give you everything that you need. That's what you do. Courage rests upon a clear assignment from God. Courage rests upon the assurance of God's presence. Courage rests upon focused determination. It's not automatic. But fourthly and finally, courage is resourced by the Word of God. By the Word of God. And I'm going to be talking about this as we get into encouragement this week, but it's resourced by the Word of God. This is sort of a Lurich family verse. This is the first verse that our grandchildren have ever heard from Papa's mouth. Three that are here, all 11, heard these words from me. The first words that my children ever heard when they were born was Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Basically, what God was saying to Joshua is simply this. Hey, buddy. Oh, I want you to understand something. Success and failure is in your hands. What? No, it's in your hands. I made it clear what you're supposed to do. I made it clear that if you act in faith and you're faithful, that I'm with you. I made it clear that you're going to buckle down and use the strength that you have and you're going to get some more. But at the end of the day, success and failure is in your hands. I've heard some lazy preachers butcher the prepositions, the pronouns here in this verse. He says, then you, Joshua, will make your way prosperous. He didn't say, no, then God will make. No, you're going to make your way prosperous. And that's all predicated based upon your relationship to the Word of God. The three primary relationships, I'll say this and I'll be through. He calls them to, as the leader, Joshua, as the leader, this book of the law, number one, shall not depart out of your mouth. You need to proclaim truth. These people don't need to hear wives' tales. They don't need to hear wilderness stories, as kind and wonderful as they are. They need to hear a word from God. And the thing that will keep them going and keep you going, my friend, is for you to proclaim truth out of your mouth. That is the most important message that you need to give. You need to give this message and you need to live this message. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate there and day and night. Not only proclaim it, you need to possess it. The word meditate comes from the Hebrew word. It's the same as in Psalm 1. It means dull sound. The implication is that you should know the Word of God so thoroughly that it's a part of who you are. God's Word is a part of who you are. It is a part of your personhood. You understand what I'm saying here? You don't just memorize Scripture so that you can be some Bible brain. You memorize it so it is absorbed in who you are. You know truth. It reaches down to your bones. It's, as Spurgeon used to say, if you're cut, you bleed Bible. But Joshua, you need to be the truth that these people need. In the heat of the battle, this word needs to be in you. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do you. You proclaim it, you possess it, but number three, you practice it. You practice it. Hey, buddy. God said, hey, man, wait, hold it, buddy. Don't play games with these people. Don't be some disingenuous hypocrite around here, man. It's just as Jesus said to his disciples, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And he was saying the same thing to Joshua. Hey, buddy. You got to do this stuff. You got to be this stuff. And sometimes there's a reason for us to be scared. Why? Because God's made clear what we're supposed to do, but we ain't clean. We got a little junk in our lives. We got, bad, our minds are going to the wrong place. We're not always telling the truth. We got nasty attitudes. We don't want to deal with this stuff. We got broken relationships. We don't want to forgive these people. We don't want to go there. And yet we're wondering why, how come this ain't happening in my life? God wants to use us and he wants to bless us, but it has to come from an authentic place. To really feel the wind of God at your back, your heart has got to be clean and pure. And the truth has got to be real in the deepest recesses of our lives. So this is biblical courage. This is biblical courage. It rests upon clarity. It rests upon God's presence. It rests upon focused determination. But it is resourced by the Word of God. And that is foundational. Father, we thank you for your Word. And we thank you, God, that you've given us all calling and assignments, Lord. And I know that for sure, that there are things that you want to do through all of us. And Lord, we all get scared, sometimes scared spitless. We get frozen, Lord, because the stuff that we know you want us to do, but we don't want to do it, and we're afraid, and from our side of the table, it looks like a lot of risks. But Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be men and women who decide for God, and we always say yes to you, even though we're coming shaking. Fill us with a sense, Lord, of your holy presence. Give us the assurance that we need to continue to move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.